So the first step they therefore realized is this, towards those seeking to produce results, all right? Which means if you are seeking to produce results in your life, right? The first thing they said is that you must, all right? You must, the first step in seeking to produce results by any power, all right, is to first of all make contact with that power. In other words, where is this power so we can make contact with it, right? So if there's no light here and we want to cause light to come, we have to go and make contact with the source of power for it to come on here, right? So you find electric wires and all of that going around, all right, the country, all right, is being driven from a particular place. There is a place where the power is being generated. There's country them, the turbines that are generating the power. So they said the first thing every man must know is, how do I make contact with this person or make contact with the power there? And quickly in doing this, where does this power lie? Lies in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that Jesus himself was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good. Jesus, when he was going, said that tarry until you are endued with power from on high after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So the power is there. Now, what does the Holy Ghost do on the inside of us in order to get this power going? The first thing the Holy Spirit does, the Bible tells us we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is of God, that we may know those things freely given to us by God. First thing in power dynamics there is revelation knowledge, the knowledge the Holy Spirit supplies for that particular situation. In other words, a person says, I want the power of God to come over my family. He says, all right, God, there are certain things you have freely given this family. I want to find out what those things are. You have made contact with the power there. You say, well, this is my business. I need the power of God to operate inside this business. All right, I've been doing this. He says there are certain things that God, looking down from heaven, has seen concerning the work of your hands. And the first thing you want to do there is you want to find out what God is saying. That's why in 2 Peter, Peter said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables where we made known unto you the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and his power there. He says that he received when the voice came. Then he went on and now said that, listen, you should take heed to the word of God. We have a more sure word of prophecy, that you do well to take heed as a light that shines in a dark place. He says, until the day dawns and day star rises your heart. Knowing this first, this is what you must know, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. But the men of God, all right, but prophecy came not of old by the will of man, but men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, if you want to make contact with living power, what is blocking it is your own personal will for your life. In other words, the will of man is what stops, all right, the move of the Spirit. So if I will certain things and I just will them by my own, I just wake up and say, well, this is what I think, all right, should happen in Covenant Christian Center by observation. I look around, well, I like what is going on here, I like what is going on here, and I put everything together, I say, this is the vision, all right, then I have not made contact with the power of God. But if I go and say, God, it is you that knows inside your heart what your plan and purpose for your people are. Therefore, I'm asking you, you said, ask of me and I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. These great and mighty things that you have prepared that I do not know, all right, I'm asking you to show me. When you do that, you come in contact with the move of the Spirit, which means you have set your own will aside. Now you want to have the move of the Holy Ghost. You want the Holy Ghost to start moving now in your life. You say, well, I'm in business. You want the Holy Ghost to move. When they came to Jesus, they said, how are you doing this thing? He said, the wind bloweth where it listed. This is the move of the Holy Spirit here. He says, you need to get born again to be able to see this. What is the move of the Spirit of God? So you go there and you go to him. And when he begins to reveal to you what he intends to do, then you have made contact. You have got to the source of power there. I said this, that look, a move of the Spirit is different from the will of man. When you are trying to use your will to get something done, right? I said many years ago, I started this church, I wasn't growing for some years. People come and give me ideas. But I knew I'd been part of a move of a spirit before. I'd been in a river there. All right? And I know that, look, this thing doesn't work by, you know, in school back then, we used to call it when you are using brain, all right? Which means it's not coming from your spirit. You are just being calculative about things, all right? Let's just throw ideas around. I said, no. You see, when you get calculative, when you use brain, the wheel to produce things, you give birth to Ishmaels that hinder your Isaacs when it's time to come. You create more problems for yourself. It's better to stand still than to do the wrong thing. Because to do the wrong thing, that wrong thing now fights the right thing. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right? You gather people the wrong way. The people will be the wrong people. When you now want to go about it the right way, the wrong people will say, you are a liar. Didn't you tell us this is how the things are done? So you now start having a fight inside your house, which is what happened to Abraham. All right there. And two sons were fighting there. So you start having this battle of the flesh there. So it's better to stand still and hear what God. And I gave this example there. And I told them, I said, look, when I was in school and I was in that move of the spirit there. I know we started, we got there, we were under a tree and all of that. But we had that long-term vision of faith. We weren't thinking just about what we were thinking about. We got revelation about what should happen. I saw inside my heart, I'm telling you this, that we had talented people in our fellowship. God is my witness. And these people will leave, all right? Nobody was going into ministry. And I said to myself, some of the finest teachers I knew in the Word of God, I said, look, people must get back into ministry. I'm telling you today, some of the leading ministries in this city, they are resident pastors, which means number two person were inside that fellowship. And it was a vision that we had. One of the major churches in the city, once you come out of that fellowship, they said, you don't need to do any foundation of faith class. You are from that fellowship, they'll put you straight into work for. We had that vision. It played out. We saw it that, look, we must go beyond these four walls here. And we had that vision, which means it wasn't just reacting to things in the environment. It was something that God showed us clearly that we're pursuing. And I talked about the fact that when I went to meet that bishop in Dahosa, and I'll never forget this, it was a river, I just got up and went there. He was going to travel at 2 p.m. I got there just at the right time. And when I told him, it was the first time I met him in my life, I mean, to cut long story short, he said, okay, so when is this your meeting? I said, because I've been booked for the next 2 years. I said, my meeting is April 6th to 13th. And I'll never forget because of what happened. And I entered, the secretary said, all right. And she opened the book, and I was saying, book. My heart was almost dropping. And then, you know, they turned and then turned back. And then we got to the month of April, and he opened it. She said, funny enough, the only time it's free for the next 2 years is April 6th to 13th. Wow. All right, that was the first time. The second time I was going for confirmation now. You know, you tell him you're excited. We didn't even write letter because we didn't know. We're campus fellows. You didn't know all those kind of things. We just used mouth to say it. They say, okay, we'll fill you or something. So when you realize, the convention is coming, let's go back and check. I just woke up one morning and like I said, I'm going. This time, I said, all right, I'll go by Okada Air. I got there. Okada used to fly 7 times to Benin then. 7 times, all right? You know Okada Air. Oh, no, not Okada. Right, 7 times. But when I got to the airport, fortunately for me, I would have missed the flight. I just saw a friend of mine. He said, where are you going? I said, Benin. Ah, he said, oh boy. You see, that plane lands on the tarmac sometimes because they go 7 times. They won't announce, so they'll just turn around, pick people, and just be going. I said, are you serious? I said, yes. I said, okay. He said, so you better move towards the tarmac. That time, so I moved. They used to do security check. There was nothing like that. So I went to the tarmac area, and I stood. I just saw one guy dressed in this. I said, sir, I said, I'm going to be in. He said, that's the plane. No, they're loading. That's the plane. That's how I took off. All right, I ran. All right, towards the plane. What that guy told me, I would have missed the flight. Now, let me tell you something about missing that flight. When, you know, remember I was going to see the Archbishop, I had no scheduled appointment. I just woke up in my room. I said, I'm going today. When I boarded, who was on seat 1A? Archbishop Idahosa. As I said, when you're in a move, you're in a move. So I sat behind, I told the air hostess, please, I want to go and see him, and he said, let him come. I got there, he told me, he said, oh, yeah, I remember, you said, I'm scheduled. He said, but there's a problem. He said, you know, my heart was beating. He said, we've gone this far. He said, you know, there was somebody who had a ministry problem, I want to help that person. So he said, okay, don't worry, let me get to the office. So when he got down from the plane, right, and I was walking away, I just saw him, they brought his car, all right, this car to the tarmac, and he was just sitting and saying something. So I didn't know he was talking and saying something to the people. Those of us were looking up and down. So it occurred to me, what's going on here? So I turned. He said, that's the guy. So they ran to come and call me. He said, what were you? He said, come on, enter my car. You didn't come and see me? Let's go to the office together. Do you understand this? Me, that I didn't have any appointment. We drove together in the car. Don't tell me a move of God is a move of God. Are you We drove together in the car. We got to his office. He took me upstairs, sat me down. He called the person, clarified it. He said, fine. He said, now they should take you on a tour of a facility. In fact, when I left, he said, when he saw me, he said, why did you go? He said, I was going to give you lunch, take you to my house. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, when there's a move, there is a move. Are you a friend of mine, pastor, was telling me this when I went to preach on Friday. He said, look, he said, you know, there was this place they wanted to get. You see, let the Holy Ghost come into your world of commerce. Let him enter into your business. Let that water come in. Mysterious things will start happening. All right? He said he was supposed to get an apartment. He said he looked at it. Somehow the Holy Ghost told him, don't take that apartment. He was going to put money into it. He said, so he came down. A few days after, he said, Lord, he said, that land over there, 4 plots is yours. He said, he looked at it. It had a warehouse. It had a building there. I don't know why it's a warehouse. He said they could use for their church. He had another building for office, children's church. He said, how much? They said 80 million. He said, 4 plots in Lagos, 80 million. How? He said, all they had was 4 million. He said, but God told him that land is his. He said, so he said, go and give the 4 million and let them take. We'll be paying this in bits. All right? He said, so they called him quickly that another group of people had come with 10 million and they seem to have more capacity. He said, he told them, the Holy Ghost told me that's the land. He said, I switched off my phone so that they wouldn't disturb me and I went to sleep. He said, when I woke up, there were text messages that come in. They were looking for me, that we've refused the 10 million people. We said, this thing belongs to you. Come and take it. I said, when the Holy Ghost gets in, are you following what I'm saying here? All you need for a move of the Spirit is release your will. Do you understand what I'm saying? You say, I want to marry right. Forget about what you have read about the person being, what do you call all these things that they say. Go and say, God, show me the person. Are you following what I'm saying? And if God shows you, I say, hey, Lord, hey, God says, go ahead with what I'm saying. Many people, the person called to you is another tribe from your own. I've said that deliberately now. You don't like that one now. You understand this? Your will is set on your village man. That is your problem. I've never preached that one, so that's for somebody here. All right? That's for somebody, because I didn't say this on service. So there's one of you that tribe is different from your tribe. That is the man. All right. Say amen. Are you struggling? Is the man wanting to marry? All right. So let me close here. So the second step here. The second step here. I have $100. The second step here, right? After you've made contact with that power, the second step is to do what? Turn that power on. After you have heard, start speaking it out. That's how you turn the power on. So you start declaring what God has shown you. And that's how you start putting seeds. All right? I told you it doesn't cost you anything. For God to show you things concerning your business and plant powerful things nobody knows inside the ground of your business. You understand this? 8 months from now, things will begin to happen. They will ask you, sir, where is all these things coming from? You will smile. You don't know what you are working on. Are you from saying, yeah? You don't know when you were sleeping what we were doing. We were putting powerful things into the ground. All right? Okay? Then the last one, the third step, is to believe that that power is coming into use and to accept that by faith. In other words, when you speak the word, you understand it shall not return to you void. The word will prosper in the thing whereunto it has been sent. In other words, when you say to the mountain, be thou removed, and you say it according to what God has revealed, power has been released that is working on moving that mountain. If you get there the next day and the mountain is intact, praise God for his power that is at work. Are you following what I'm saying here? Don't look and say, what has happened now? What has happened now? Why didn't they? Praise God. Once you start speaking the word of God, the power of God is in operation within your environment to make it happen. Are you following what I'm saying here? Are there people that God, all right, has chosen to come into this church? I am telling you, they are struggling with deciding now. They, in their minds, they've watched me on television and say, that's my church. But then they have commitments or something, and they are struggling with it. Now, if you withdraw that power, then if I ask them how long it took you to come, you will tell them how long you were deciding. Some of you saw and said, man, I get blessed, but you are still watching. Are you following me? Some 6 years of watching, finally they showed up. Power, all right? You leave the power there to walk. You praise God. You will thank him as though that thing has already materialized, which means you believe that power is in operation. If we get to that point in this revelation, maybe I'll be able to say something. So I don't want to say something because I want people to so that people don't do what they're not supposed to do. Right? But once you begin to do that and start praising him, and start praising him, all right? God at that point even starts showing you certain things. Well, let me close with this thought here. When you cast the seed, the kingdom of God, into the ground, right? Three things happen. If you put up Mark 4:26, it says the kingdom of God is as if a man will cast seed into the ground. Now that kingdom will leaven everything, change everything. Which means you cast seed into the ground in a family, you come back after the whole thing is leavened, influenced completely by it. He said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. So the first thing the man does is to cast seed into the ground. Then the second thing the man does is to sleep. You understand this? That's a powerful action in the kingdom, to sleep. That's rest. So he sleeps and rises night and day. Then the third thing that happens is that the seed now does what? Springs forth, he knoweth not how. So one, he casts it. Two, he sleeps. Three, that sleeping as regards, you know, trying to make it work. Are you following what I'm saying? Don't start in the spirit, which means remove your will, then try to become perfect through your will. Do you get what I'm saying? Don't now start putting, look, when you do all this will thing, you delay manifestation. You push it back. Are you following what I'm saying? Push it back. Okay? So, start saying, but understand power gets released. When you pray, you hear God, and you start speaking. Then, so what happens? Now, Paul said the kingdom of God consists of three things. Not in meat and drink, but in what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, that's in Romans 14. Okay, spoon up, 17. So, first thing is righteousness. What is this righteousness? This righteousness is what Paul said in Romans chapter 10. He said, talking about the nation of Israel, he said, they being ignorant, said, my desire for them is that they might be saved. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness that is of God. Then it says, for Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Then it says, for Moses describeth the righteousness that is of the law, that the man that notes that doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness that is of faith does what? Speaketh on this wise. See what is going. Next thing it says, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend to heaven, or who shall descend to the earth? But what saith it? The word is what? Nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. In other words, the kingdom of God is this righteousness. It starts with the word in your mouth and inside your heart. So you say it out of your lips and get it into your heart. That's how it starts. It says, so it starts by, next week I'm talking about this, the proclamation of the word of God, planting it as a seed into your heart. Then the next thing it tells us is peace. What is peace? It says, it tells us that, not great peace have they that love thy law, nothing shall by any means offend them. But it says he will keep in perfect peace whose mind is what stayed on thee. So that next thing is about your mind now, that peace being stayed on God's word. In other words, it says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It's now talking about your thought life. It's saying what Paul said, that the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart. Think about things that are pure. Think about. So what happens is that once you start speaking the word of God and it's going forth, do not allow yourself to get disturbed in your thought life with any form of anxiety. All right? Don't start waking up and worrying about it. Once you start worrying and you start getting anxious, that power stops operating on the field for you. That power stops working. That's why when Peter was walking on water and he looked at the wind that was boisterous, the Bible says he became fearful. He got disturbed. And the Bible says he began to sink, which means the power stopped working that was already in operation when he started allowing himself to get disturbed by what he was saying. So keep yourself there in perfect peace there. which means stay your mind on God's word. All right. Anytime any thought of disturbance comes up as regards that particular thing, right? That what's going on? I'm telling you that this business thing is not all of that. He says, keep yourself. If you get to the place of peace, you will know you are walking in the corridors of spiritual power. You will know you are walking in the corridors. The Bible says it's an ornament of a meek and quiet, which is an undisturbed spirit, is of great price. It's an ornament there. So stay with the word of God. Don't allow yourself to get disturbed. When that thought comes up, all right, fight the good fight of faith. Declare God's word and bring your mind to a place where it's steady there, all right, where there's quietness concerning it, where you are no longer disturbed, right, by what is going on the outside. Joshua said, here is the strategy. Step into the waters of Jordan, but be still. If you are still, the waters will part. If you are still about that situation there, the salvation of God will be revealed. Which means is that stillness, the ability to be in the midst of conflict, but your thought life is controlled by the word of God and you are at peace. It is spiritual activity that is going on. And this is where many people fail. They say, well, I said the word of God, but we don't know whether you are disturbed when you are about to sleep and you didn't do anything about it. And you woke up, you were disturbed. We don't know how worried you are before you walked into church. Every time you allow all that disturbance, the power of God that is already in operation ceases from working there. So you must keep yourself in that place of peace concerning that. All right? You don't allow yourself to be disturbed concerning this. You stay there with God's word. You stay there and say, well, I'm looking for a life partner. Don't let it disturb you. If you start getting disturbed about it, you're worrying, that's when all kinds of things will happen. Stay in a place of peace where you yourself, you are surprised at yourself how well you have slept. Do you understand this? And how well you woke up. Are you following what I'm saying? That how come this thing is no longer disturbing me? The person is on the way. The power of God is in operation to bring that right person in. But if you are anxiety and you are disturbed, are you following what I'm saying here? Then you pick the wrong person and then it becomes boxing match at home. So I'm saying that keep in peace. Peace will produce peace. Yes, sir. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It will produce peace there. So stay steady. I don't know why I'm going to this by this thing. But stay steady there. Right? And don't allow your life, your thought life enjoy. All right? Life without that thing. Do you get what I'm saying here? Not that I'm so disturbed. The only thing I can really praise God is when it comes. You understand this? Enjoy. Let be in that place. That is, you are walking in spiritual power. You know, I heard Kenneth Hagin say this repeatedly. He said, we have, in no situation whatsoever, have we ever failed. 100% result. He said, when people, and Bishop Butler was talking about it, he said, when people come for meetings, we'll do 3-week meetings. He said, when they come into our meetings, they will ask for prayer for healing. We say, no, go. Don't come for healing. It's in the last 3 days we're going to do that. But come in and listen to the word and be saying this every time the thought of that ailment comes up to you. Declare out of your lips. Don't let yourself be disturbed by it, that when hands are laid upon me, I'll be completely whole. From the crown of my head to the soul, when hands are laid upon me, I'll be completely. Just keep saying that. Just keep saying that. Just keep saying that. Listen to the word of God and keep saying that. Listen to the word of God. He was saying, bring yourself to a place of peace. Kingdom government starts manifesting. A man's son was taking drugs to a point where he came to me and said, pray for me. He said, that's not what will make it happen. He said, let me tell you how you save your son. He said, every time the thought comes, when he tells you he wants to go out and you know he's going to take drugs, don't try to stop him. That's using your will to interfere with the process. He said, leave him alone. He will get it anyway. He said, but as it goes, just say, I surround you with faith and love. You will not end up. Keep saying it. Anytime you wake up and you're disturbed, say that. He said, I said it. And after about 3 weeks, he said, I became quiet. He said, the day the boy got delivered, he said, I heard him talking on the phone, saying how they were going to take acid and take drugs. And he said, listen, we will get caught up in the air, that this was a very serious form of drug. And his son said, because he was a Christian, he said, listen, when we see those demons, we'll cast them out. That's how bad the drugs were. All right, when we meet with those men, we'll command them in Jesus' name. They laughed. He said he knew his son was going to take drugs. And the boy asked him, I want to go out. He did not say anything. He said, as he went out, he said, I surround you. So they took drugs. They thought his son was dead, so they dropped the boy. He said, he didn't see the boy for some time. After some time, the boy came back home and told the father that, listen, I wanted to come back and make sure I was a true son. He was at a camp meeting. And he told God to get up. He had become a pastor. He said, but it was that night of the greatest temptation where he knew that was the night of his deliverance. Of course, when the boy went up, he must have seen the demons he was seeing. And said, in my life, I will never do this again. And repented and came back to God. Peace there. All right, so maintain that walk of peace. Then lastly, joy. And what's that joy? Bible says, praise God, let the people praise him. Then shall the earth yield its what? Increase. So what makes that seed that you sow with your words, that you keep in the ground with peace? Do you get what we're saying here? What makes it come out is rejoicing. So you are steady, all right, no longer disturbed by the environment, but you see things and start rejoicing as though that particular thing has been fulfilled in your life. And that seed begins to pop out of the ground and powerful events begin to come to pass. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. By the power of your spirit, we ask you go further with this truth into our hearts, into this church, and let it permeate every single person's life, that every single person under my voice, sound of my voice, becomes a vessel of your power in this nation and on the earth this year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for watching.